greetings to everybody out there, wherever you may be listening to this podcast, whether that is in Ohio or somewhere else on our great universe. Do you think anybody on the moon or at the International Space Station listens to our podcast?
I don't think so. I don't know how that works. But
well, if you are, this is the Darting Through the Faith podcast.
Yeah, right.
You're Julia Monin. Mm-hmm. I'm Father Sean Michael Thomas Wilson.
Nice.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. That just, I don't know why.
Yeah. Because you are.
I guess I am.
All patrons.
Yep.
Yes. Welcome back. This is a great day to be alive.
It is.
Because every day is a great day to be alive.
It is.
What's new?
What is new? I got spied on over the weekend, evidently. So I went out and played golf by myself. And you knew this.
I did know.
So you had a spy.
I do. I have a tracker. There's a tracker in your shoe.
Don't,
I know where you're at all times.
Don't do that.
I don't.
Don't do that.
I don't.
You can't put a tracker in my sandals.
Oh, right. True.
Yeah.
True. No, my nephew was out there golfing. He saw your car.
Yeah.
I mean, your car. Yeah.
My car sticks out.
Your car sticks out.
Yeah. Hood mama, go to mass, all that.
Right. Right. So. Right. So it really wasn't. Yeah. But yeah. How'd you golf?
Hit some good ones. Hit some bad ones.
Do you keep score?
I do, but it's not, as I keep score, it's like, well, I took a mulligan on that one. Like I hit a bad shot. Now, sometimes I hit the, I'll hit a bad shot and then I hit another shot. And oftentimes it goes better, but then I'll just take the bad shot.
Sure thing.
Because
it's just practice.
Yeah. It's just practice.
Yeah.
It's a confidence booster. It's like, I can actually hit a better shot than that. Right. And it's like, okay, I can't. All right.
What if you don't though?
What does that do to your... Actually, so... Hole number 18 yesterday, I hit a solid drive into the wind. You know, the ninth hole on the north side at Shelby Oaks? It's a long par four that goes down the hill and then back up towards the clubhouse, right? And there's the creek that runs in front of it.
I hate that hole. Yeah,
I hate it because it's long par four and there's the creek there. Mm-hmm. And then the wind was coming in my face. Mm. So I hit a good drive in the fairway. I pull out the clubs. I think this is going to be the one that'll get me to the green. And I hit it. I was like... That's probably not quite to the green, but that was a solid hit.
Uh-huh.
Boom, right into the creek.
You can get there in two, that hole?
I thought I could.
Well,
I hit
not.
A
yeah,
second,
right.
uh-huh. and I was like, that one is about the same. Boom, right into the creek. I was like, this is not what I want to do. I hit a third and duffed it. I was like, all right, I'm going to just go drop a ball right next to the creek and hit it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I feel like that's a really long, but anyway,
yeah,
I've never golfed with you, so I don't know.
Evidently I'm a better golfer I'm a worse golfer than I think I am.
You know, the game of golf, it'll get you. It always keeps you coming back for more because even if you play the best round of your life, you inevitably left a shot or two out there.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like, oh, if I
could have done that differently.
Yeah, that putt just slipped out. So it keeps you coming back. But also it can really aggravate you to be like,
sure,
the ball doesn't move. It's just sitting there. Just hit it. It's not like somebody's throwing it at you 100 miles per hour. There's no one around you.
Right.
Just hit the ball. And yet duffs and those other silly things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what?
Why? I just, the last shot I just hit much better than that. Why is this one just rolling, 20 yards down the... Anywho. Yeah. It was
a fun game.
It was nice for Sunday to get out and just enjoy some of the brisk fall air.
Mm.
So that was nice.
Brisk fall air is my favorite. I love it. Mm. You know this. Everyone knows
your favorite kind of air.
It's my favorite kind of air. I walked today because it was brisk and misty and raining. And I'm like, this is a beautiful day to walk when it's warm and sunny. Yeah, about a block from my office to the church, which is maybe a block. Is it a block? I mean, how many yards do you think it is?
200.
Yeah.
So
it was a nice brisk walk, though. I appreciated it.
Nice.
I don't walk.
We need to pray.
Yes, let's do that.
Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you may send forth your Holy Spirit upon all those who are listening to this podcast, upon all of those who are growing in their relationship with you. Pray for those who feel kind of stagnant or stuck, or those who are trapped in sin, and we... entrust this time and our entire lives into your hands, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we ask for the guidance of Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We are in the catechism.
That we are, right in the middle of it.
2052 to 2074. Is that right? 2052
That's exactly right.
to 2074, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
We're just getting started in the Ten Commandments section. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the third part of the catechism, life in Christ. The first part talks about morality in general, and then the second part goes through the Ten Commandments. So this is the introductory part to the Ten Commandments.
Quite a few paragraphs here.
Mm-hmm.
The first several, 2052 to 2055, are in a section titled, Teacher, What Must I Do?
Yeah, that was the rich young man asked our Lord that. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, hey, I'm glad you asked. I got the answer.
Just like that.
Just turned into a used car salesman
right.
all of a sudden. If you sell used cars, that was not meant to be insult.
Right.
It's a colloquial expression.
Right. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? To the young man who asked this question, Jesus answers first by invoking the necessity to recognize God as the one there is who is good, as a supreme good and the source of all good. Then Jesus tells him, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he cites for his questioner the precepts that concern love of neighbor. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Finally, Jesus sums up these commandments positively. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Sometimes in the Christians, this could be a Catholic or a non-Catholic, I've heard it from multiple people. It's like the Old Testament's the Old Testament, that's done and gone with, and now we're focused on the New Testament stuff. You know, stuff in the Old Testament's been replaced, it's been upgraded. Mm. Well, Jesus clearly says that's not the case, right? Mm. So when he asks, what must I do? He just lays out part of the Ten Commandments. So it's not that our Lord comes to abolish the law, and I think that comes elsewhere, but he actually came to reinforce it, to flesh it out, and to develop it. Yeah.
The law has not been abolished. This is continuing in the next paragraph. But rather, man is invited to rediscover it in the person of his master, who is its perfect fulfillment. So not abolished, but fulfilled.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, hey, that Old Testament, that's for the past or for other people. But it's actually for us, too.
And Jesus, of course, adds a second to this first reply. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me.
Yeah. Ah. And the catechism then points out, the Ten Commandments are added to with the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically how do we live in the Ten Commandments, and then poverty, chastity, and obedience are added to that.
Mm-hmm.
Inseparable from the commandments, the catechism says in 2053.
Jesus acknowledged the Ten Commandments, but he also showed the power of the Spirit at work in their letter. He preached a righteousness which exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, as well as that of the Gentiles. He unfolded all the demands of the commandments. I love that term, unfolded. That's another way of looking at it, like not being abolished, but fulfilled. Like just more and more becomes unfolded, unveiled.
And it specifically cites in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not kill, but I say to you, anybody who's angry with his brother is liable to judgment. So it's, and even you think about that, you've heard that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. So like it's going deeper and it's unfolding the depths of these commandments.
Mm-hmm. Really raising the bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When someone asks him which commandment in the law is the greatest, Jesus replies, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Decalogue must be interpreted in light of this twofold yet single commandment of love, the fullness of the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get into further in the catechism about how that happens with the two tablets of sacred scripture. The first three commandments being about love of God, the next seven commandments being about the love of neighbor, and how the Ten Commandments is the living out of this love of God and love of our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So that's that first section, teacher, what must I do? And then we get into the Decalogue in sacred scripture where we see this. And this would be 2056. to 2063,
mm-hmm.
the biggest section of them all. All right. So the word Decalogue means literally 10 words. God revealed these 10 words to his people on the holy mountain. They were written with the finger of God, right? Okay. Beginning with the Old Testament, the sacred books refer to the 10 words, but it is in the new covenant in Jesus Christ that their full meaning will be revealed, as we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So Decalogue is equivalent with 10 commandments, mm-hmm. right? Deca, you think about a decade, decathlon, and then logos is the Greek word for words, so 10 words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
It's where we get logic, the word logic from.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Decalogue must first be understood in the context of the Exodus, God's great liberating event at the center of the Old Covenant. This paragraph goes on to talk about the 10 words point out the conditions of a life freed from the slavery of sin. And then it continues again, this liberating power of the Decalogue appears. So three times in this one paragraph, we're getting the context of the Exodus, which is God's great liberating event, points out the conditions of a life freed from mm-hmm. the slavery of sin, and then this liberating power. So the Ten Commandments are not rules to bind us, but to free us,
right?
To set us free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we've got to remember the context that they were given in, where they're given in the story of the Exodus, which, just the reminder, that's when Moses leads the people out of Egypt. Moses receives the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue from the Lord on Mount Sinai. And that's all, so it's all part of the same story. It's about the Lord freeing his people, mm-hmm. whether that's freeing them from their enslavement to Pharaoh or from their enslavement to sin, so that people mm-hmm. can live as the Lord has created them, created us really to live. Mm-hmm. So to understand it in its original context, everything about the book of Exodus is about freedom. And the people's lives get entangled, enslaved to so many different things, whether mm-hmm. it's sin or Pharaoh or their own comfort, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about freedom, this whole Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. So, and it still is for us.
Mm-hmm. The 10 words sum up and proclaim God's law. He wrote them upon two tables of stone and gave them to me. What are we quoting here? Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. For this reason, these two tables are called the testimony. And then these tables of the testimony were to be deposited in the Ark of the Covenant.
Right. Yeah. So that was where the Holy of Holies was. That was the mm-hmm. holiest thing. So that was where the manna from the desert was placed in there, or some of it, not all of it, of course. They ate most of it. Mm-hmm. And then the staff of Aaron, and then the Ten Commandments. So it was God's presence among them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, let me jump back on something that I remembered. When I was in first grade, we learned in our CCD class about Moses giving the Ten Commandments, or receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. But I had a disagreement with my mother about where he received the Ten Commandments.
Sure.
My mom was convinced that it was on Mount Sinai, but I told her that it was on Mount Sky High. It was a high mountain, so I thought it was Mount Sky High. But turns out mom was right.
Yeah.
But Sky High seems like the name of a mountain.
Absolutely it does. Sky High. Right.
You know?
Right.
We mishear things sometimes. Even when you have ears as big as mine.
Sky High. The gift of the commandments is the gift of God himself and his holy will. And making his will known, God reveals himself to his people. That's the end of 2059 there.
Yeah.
The gift of the commandments and of the law is part of the covenant God sealed with his own. In Exodus, the revelation of the 10 words is granted between the proposal of the covenant and its conclusion, after the people had committed themselves to do all that the Lord had said and to obey it. And then, stop me if you want to pause on any of this, but then continuing in 2061, the commandments take on their full meaning within the covenant. According to scripture, man's moral life has all its meaning in and through the covenant. The first of the 10 words recalls that God loved his people first. And then our moral existence is a response to the Lord's loving initiative. So these commandments point out that happening. God loves us first, and everything after is our response to him.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically what a covenant is, right? It's mm-hmm. the Lord making his end of the promise, of his end of the action. It's the relationship that we enter into with the Lord, mm-hmm. that he really enters into with us, where he makes these promises. And then there's a response to that, right? Mm-hmm. You think about a covenant of marriage, right? There's this response and basically the giving and receiving of the husband and wife to each other, mm-hmm. that you receive love and you respond in love. And mm-hmm. in a marriage that happens both ways, but in our relationship with the Lord, he's always the one that takes the initiative mm-hmm. in that. So yeah, our moral life then is a response, is basically our end of the covenant of mm-hmm. how we live because the Lord first loved us. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. So we always have to remember that in the covenant. It's not just like, hey, these are the rules that you have to do, but us living the commandments is our response to what the Lord has first done. Mm-hmm. It's easy to forget that.
It's so easy to forget yeah. that. I heard a beautiful quote this weekend by someone who said, like, God is always seeking us, but at some point you have to let yourself be found. And that kind of goes to that sure. same extent of, like, he's always drawing us and everything else is our response to him.
Word.
Word. All right.
Should we say that 10 times? Word, word, word. The 10 words? Huh?
Yeah, you should.
I can't count that hard.
Okay. And then wrapping up this section, 2063, God makes his will known to each person in particular and at the same time as he makes it known to the whole world.
And that reference of the mm-hmm. the language of the 10 commandments. I am the Lord your God. You singular, not like you people, but you singular. So there's that personal aspect of the Lord is doing this and he's saying like, I am the Lord your God. You mm-hmm. shall not have false gods. So it's like I have a response as God, you have a response as the people. And so there's like, it's not just like general rules, but it's actually this relationship mm-hmm. between us and the Lord. Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful. The Lord prescribed love towards God and taught justice towards neighbor so that man would be neither unjust nor unworthy of God. Thus, through the Decalogue, God prepared man to become his friend and to live in harmony with his neighbor. The words of the Decalogue remain likewise for us Christians. Far from being abolished, they have received amplification and development from the fact of the coming of the Lord in the flesh.
Amplification and mm-hmm. development. Mm-hmm. Well done, Saint Irenaeus. Mm-hmm.
Well done is right. Mm-hmm. Now we go into this.
You get to be a father of the church. Into the newest father of the church. Doctor of the church, sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Word.
This is just a new thing?
Oh. It is a newer thing.
You see what he did there? Word. Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Pope Francis named him a doctor really? Of the church. Yeah.
When did Saint Irenaeus live?
We're like 100s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe 200s.
Okay.
Say, yeah.
Yeah.
Say late 100s.
We look to him as like a church father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a martyr too.
Martyr. Yeah. Church father, doctor of the church.
Yep. He just got it all.
Word. All right. Then nice. We go into 2064 to 2068, the Decalogue in the church's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In fidelity to Scripture and in conformity with the...
infidelity to Scripture. Like, not faithful.
Two words.
I got it.
Infidelity to Scripture. So mm-hmm. being obedient mm-hmm. to the Scripture and in conformity with the example of Jesus, the tradition of the church has acknowledged the primordial importance and significance of the Decalogue.
So because Jesus says it's important
right.
and the church has regularly seen it as important, mm-hmm. we should think that mm-hmm. Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, is important.
Then we get a little history of this tradition. Ever since St. Augustine, the Ten Commandments have occupied a predominant place in the catechesis of baptismal candidates and the faithful. Okay. Remind us all, St. Augustine, when was he around?
Fourth century, fifth century. He died in 451.
Okay.
That's not right. That was a Council of Chalcedon. Right around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. In the 15th century, the custom arose of expressing the commandments of the Decalogue in rhymed formula.
Sounds like a homework assignment for your husband.
In rhymed formula?
A 10 commandment rhyme
sure thing.
Formula.
With a tune that gets stuck in your head and never gets
absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Easy to memorize and in positive form.
Oh my gosh, I just remembered the funny thing your husband and I were laughing about earlier today.
Can you say it on air?
I don't really want to, but it just
afterwards.
It just struck me.
Okay, I hope you tell me later. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
The catechisms of the church have often expounded Christian morality by following the order of the Ten Commandments. Okay.
Right.
The present catechism follows the division of the commandments established by St. Augustine, which has become traditional in the Catholic Church, also of the Lutheran confessions. Greek fathers worked out a slightly different division, which is found in the Orthodox churches and Reformed communities.
So, warning. Some of your family members, friends who are not Roman Catholic might have a different numbering of the Ten Commandments.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not going to be anything that's like, wow, that's not a commandment in our church, though. Like, they should, they're all generally mm-hmm. the same thing. But mm-hmm. even churches, though, have different interpretations of what the Ten Commandments mean. For mm-hmm. example, thou shalt not kill. Well, what does that exactly mean, mm-hmm. Practically speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Or thou shalt not commit adultery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
The Ten Commandments state what is required in the love of God and love of neighbor. Here's where you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. The first three concern love of God, and the other seven, love of neighbor. Yeah?
Pretty straightforward.
Right?
Yeah, I hope so.
The Council of Trent teaches that the Ten Commandments are obligatory for Christians and that the justified man is still bound to keep them. And the Second Vatican Council confirms the bishops, successors of the apostles, receive from the Lord the mission of teaching all peoples and of preaching the gospel to every creature, so that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments.
Right. So any sense of like, well, I believe in God and that's that, right? And that's enough, or anything like that. It's that we have to live the Ten Commandments too. It's not just about what we believe or what we say, but it's also about what we do. And that's mm-hmm. that's what the Council mm-hmm. of Trent reaffirmed, is that we have to actually live the commandments because Jesus taught them. So mm-hmm. there's people that have said contrary. So mm-hmm. Council of Trent and the church always reaffirms that it mm-hmm. is about our way of life, all in addition to what we believe.
Mm-hmm. And remember, not in a sense of like, just don't do this because I told you not to.
Right.
But these are, like, the Lord wants to free our hearts from everything we're enslaved to, including mm-hmm. our passions and all of these other things. And so here's the guidelines, right?
Yeah.
And the ways I want to liberate you.
So, it's like an instruction manual, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get a grill, you want to actually be able to, like, you could put the grill together however you see best, mm-hmm. but it's probably not going to work right.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to, like, it's mm-hmm. probably not going to stay together or last very long. So mm-hmm. that's what the Ten Commandments are for our lives. It's like, this is how the Lord made us. This is the instruction manual to live well, to burn well, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can follow it, or we cannot, or make up our own instruction manual because we think we know better.
Mm-hmm.
Or follow somebody else's instruction manual.
Mm-hmm. Are you good at following instructions? Like when it comes to like manuals and things, putting stuff together?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Legos?
Love it.
Like because of the instructions? Like
both and.
Yeah.
You because
like to free build and?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when you get a Lego set, you follow the instructions and build it. And that's mm-hmm. kind of cool because you're like, oh my gosh, look at all this. Mm-hmm. But then like just the having fun mm-hmm. with whatever you need to build is,
mm-hmm.
phew, wow.
I hate Legos.
Really?
I do.
Oh man.
You know what I think it is? The instructions are in pictures.
Mm.
They're not words. I'm a word person.
Mm.
So like if it actually said like, words, I might, maybe, but I sure. look at the picture and I'm like, it's like looking at a map. I'm so confused. I don't understand
sure
how to like look at that picture and it tell me what to do.
So, but you also don't like the free, just kind of.
I'm better at that.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be my first choice of things to do, but yeah, I'm better at that.
Man, I go visit my parents in Georgia because they have Legos. That's not true. But my nephew loves playing Legos,
yeah.
and so that's always something we do.
My son there. Loves it too.
Yeah.
All
right, the unity of the Decalogue. So the Decalogue, and that's 2069 to, what do we got?
That's it, like, 2069.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Decalogue forms a coherent whole. Each word refers to each of the others and to all of them. They reciprocally condition one another. The two tables shed light on one another. They form an organic unity. To transgress one commandment is to infringe all the others. One cannot honor another person without blessing God, his creator. One cannot adore God without loving all men, his creatures. The Decalogue brings man's religious and social life into unity.
Well, that's good. So that means mm-hmm. we can't divide our lives into this is my religious life, this is my social life. Like they all work in harmony together
mm-hmm.
because we are one person,
mm-hmm.
right? We can't just separate ourselves out, but we actually exist as a united whole,
mm-hmm.
as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Decalogue and natural law.
Mm-hmm. Two paragraphs on this. The Ten Commandments belong to God's revelation. Pause. What does that mean?
That means God shows, right? God instructs, God teaches. I was going to say God reveals, but you can't really say God. So God does in the Old Testament, and then it gets further revealed, gets further taught by Jesus in the New Testament.
So the Ten Commandments belong to God's revelation, what he's mm-hmm. revealed to us about who he is. At the same time, they teach us the true humanity of man.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the natural law basically means that the Ten Commandments, God reveals them, but they also, if we think, mm-hmm. Apart from God's revelation, if we can actually do that, and there's a little bit of discrepancy about that, but it they just practically make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if everybody lied, well, what would happen in our society? We get a little taste of that actually sometimes. Mm-hmm. But so that these are naturally good things also, but they're in harmony, right? Mm-hmm. God reveals, and what happens to be true just naturally go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bring to light the essential duties and therefore indirectly the fundamental rights inherent in the nature of the human person.
Right. And so that it just reaffirms what we know in our kind of in our minds and our own understanding and our own reason. Mm-hmm. It confirms it. It reaffirms it and clarifies it. Mm-hmm. So so it's not contrary. Right. God's commandments are not illogical.
Right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The commandments of the Decalogue, although accessible to reason alone, as you were saying, have also been revealed to attain a complete and certain understanding of the requirements of the natural law. Sinful humanity needed this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So instinctually, I guess we were saying it like logically, this makes sense. But also we were so fallen from the Lord that we needed a reminder. And so God revealed himself to us in the commandments.
And we get confused, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes, and we see this in our own lives, right? Because sometimes, well, we know there's a commandment that thou shalt not lie. Mm-hmm. But every now and then it's like, I think it might be better to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it would be easier. It would not hurt people's feelings. So we're just going to lie. And what Revelation clarifies for us is like, no, there's no getting out of this, mm-hmm. right? So our reason knows that mm-hmm. we shouldn't lie, but mm-hmm. Revelation really kind of doesn't give us the wiggle room that sometimes we rationalize because we're fallen.
There you go. Boom. We get really good at it too.
Dang. You're right.
Word.
Have we said word 10 times, do you think?
I don't know, but
that could have been a goal for the whole.
I hope Grace counts them.
Yeah.
Okay. We know.
Maybe puts a little sound effect.
Ooh.
Every time we say, like, cha-ching!
That's a good option.
I think that's a great use of her time.
Do we do 2071? Yeah, okay. Right. A full explanation of the commandments of the Decalogue became necessary in state of sin. Yes, we said that. Okay. We know God's commandments through the divine revelation proposed to us in the church and through the voice of moral conscience. All right, so now the next two paragraphs, the obligation mm-hmm. of the Decalogue. Since they express man's fundamental duties toward God and towards his neighbor, the Ten Commandments reveal in their primordial content grave obligations. They are fundamentally immutable, and they oblige always and everywhere. No one can dispense from them. The Ten Commandments are engraved by God in the human heart. Let me continue with this next paragraph. Obedience to the commandments also implies obligations in matter which is in itself light. Thus, abusive language is forbidden by the fifth commandment, but would be a grave offense only as a result of circumstances or the offender's intention.
Right. So it's basically, it's saying the gravity of sins against the Decalogue. And that's actually where we get grave matter for mortal sin. That's kind of the easiest understanding of, well, what is serious sin? It's the things that go against the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically saying the grave things, they're immutable, they're unchanging. But then 2073 kind of says a little bit of like, but we do have to look at the circumstances and the intention to say if this is a mortal sin, right? Things mm-hmm. could be lighter based on those sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know, has grew up in a house with potty mouths, maybe mm-hmm. saying that would actually lighten the culpability of the sin.
Yeah. So can you go over those three conditions that have to be sure. present again?
Grave matter. Mm-hmm. You have to know it's grave matter, mm-hmm. and then you have to freely choose it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. This sums up everything in 2074 in a section. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The fruit referred to in this saying is the holiness of a life made fruitful by union with Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, partake of his mysteries, and keep his commandments, the Savior himself comes to love in us, his Father and his brethren, our Father and our brethren. His person becomes, through the Spirit, the living and interior rule of our activity. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
It's a great way to end, because mm-hmm. when we kind of look at these Ten Commandments, I think probably many of us would say, yeah, mm-hmm. right? These are how I should live. This mm-hmm. is the way that we should live. These are the things I should do, the things I shouldn't do. But then we struggle, right? We're like, as St. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. And what do we do? Well, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. So how do we live the moral life? How do we live these commandments? Well, we need Jesus Christ to do that. How do we live the perfection of the law? Well, we need the Lord to do this. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability. We don't have the perseverance. So we need Christ to do it. And so we think about even St. Paul saying in the letter to the Galatians, I no longer live, but Christ lives mm-hmm. in me. And so how do we live this? Well, we need Jesus through the sacraments, through the life of grace, to do this in us, mm-hmm. not just our own superpower.
Mm-hmm. 2082 in the In Brief, which summarizes that paragraph, says, what God commands, he makes possible by his grace. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what we call the life of sanctity, right? That's the saints exemplify that, mm-hmm. that it's not just that they were, that Mother Teresa was a superhuman and able to serve the poor with generosity and patience and kindness, but she did it because of the Lord working in her. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you could say that for every saint.
Absolutely. Cooperating with the grace that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Final thoughts on?
I have no more thoughts.
Final or original or anything. None. No more thoughts.
Nope.
Okay.
I got blank space.
All right. So something. Again, that was 2052 to 2074. The In Brief is 2075 to 2082. We were having all sorts of fun before we began, just tossing the dart, doing trick shots with the dart. Let's say the folks on Dude Perfect will not be hiring us anytime soon.
They won't. But I was just proud of you for throwing darts. You know, it's not normally your thing to throw the dart. When you picked one up, my jaw almost dropped.
I would have been scared if I were you because I was backhanding it. I could have slipped out and hit you in the eyes.
I had confidence. I got safety glasses on.
You do have some glasses.
I have glasses.
Safety.
I believe in them OSHA to protect approved. Me.
Well, right, where are we going?
There's not... I don't see too many like chunks of places I can throw and just hit one of things, but oh, who celebrates the liturgy 11:55 to 11:44? That can't be right.
Hold on,
maybe it's 11:35 to 11:44.
11:35, I think.
Speaking of, yeah, yeah.
11:35 to 11:44.
Who celebrates the liturgy?
Sweet. Can't wait to find out.
Stay tuned next time on Darting Through the Faith to find out.
I like when there are questions.
Okay. I know.
All right. And we'll end with Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments."